All right. You were made for a mission. We're in 40 days of purpose. Last 2 weeks. Oh, it's all very quiet. Okay. But we have so far made it through 12 weeks on this series for the purpose of our lives. And as I've already heard and had fantastic, thanks, Sharmini. Great job off the cuff this morning. And we have learned through this series, it all starts with God. Yeah? You're not an accident. God made you to last. And he made us to last because we have a relationship with God, that we have eternity in our hearts. And as we connect with God, he puts such an amazing ability and friendship within us. Our spirits connect with his spirits. And we recognize that it's, in some ways, it's so sad that we see people leave this earth when we all go to funerals at some stage in our life, and that is because we weren't meant to just die. We have been built to have eternity in our hearts. And so you were planned for God's pleasure. What an incredible thing. We've talked about that already. I talked about it in the tithes and offerings. You were formed for God's family. Who's glad they're a part of a family of God? Talking to someone this morning, I think it was Christine. You went up to on leave, I think they were, and they went up to C3 Beachway and had a great time up there. It's a family, we're together. But who knows also the importance of having a local church? There's nothing beats the local church. And you were created to become like Christ. Wow, we were created to be able to do the same things that Christ did. Have his spirit, have his character. We may not attain it on this earth, but we can get there when we go to be with him. I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect, but I can certainly head towards Christ. And so, today we're made with a mission. God is at work in the world, and he wants you to join him. God wants you to have both a ministry in the church. Put your hands up if you've got some sort of ministry in the church. Just give me a wave. Some sort of ministry in the church. You do some serving. You do anything in church. Give me more. There should be more hands. Give me a hand. Wave, wave, wave. Yep. That's it. Beautiful. All right. Excellent. I'd say that was about 70%. Must do that statistic. It says here, your ministry, let's put up this PowerPoint. Your ministry is your service to believers. And your mission is your service to unbelievers. We put up this scripture which I want to use this morning, Proverbs 11, verse 30. New King James Version. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And it also says in that same proverb, he who wins souls is wise. When you have a lasting relationship with Jesus, and we go through all kinds of trials of life, but you stay in relationship with Jesus. Who here has some trials in their life from time to time? What's the best thing we can do? Stay in relationship with God. So we go through the trials with him. Often, as we've learned, that God allows us to go. He might not have brought the situation, but he allows us to go through those situations. We might have brought the circumstance on ourselves. It may be through somebody else, and we've had to endure it. You know, I think of many countries around the world that, not through their own doing, but now have to live under, you know, corruption or all these different things. But do they give up on God? No, they trust him and they live for him, and through that we grow up in God. And so one thing I wish to make clear through this series on having a purpose in your life is that God doesn't judge you on which church you go to, nor how large it is or not. He is looking to see what is coming from within you. And the verse says, the fruit of the righteous. How do you and I become righteous? Give me a few ideas. How do you and I actually become righteous? Do you think we need to actually have some sort of relationship with God? We need to talk to Him. We need to be praying to our God. That would be good, wouldn't it? We've learned some of those disciplines through these 40 days. We need to read our Bible, yeah? Not just read it like it's a book and hurry up and finish, or yep, done it today. But as we actually allow His Spirit to rest on those words. The heart of the situation, sometimes we have some really difficult situations in life, don't we? The harder the situation is to bear, the more resilient your core needs to be. You know, we all have a core. Now, if I was a personal trainer, which I'm not, but I happen to know a little bit about this area. I happen to be going to the gym for a long time. And doesn't make much difference if it are. It's all good. But the personal trainers will always tell you, you've got to look after your core. In fact, your core has to be strong. And so you've got to get your central part of your body. You've got to get your aerobic fitness up. You've actually got to do everything you can to make sure that you have stamina. It's exactly the same with the walk of a Christian life. No matter what circumstances are brought upon you, what hills that you may have to conquer. I was thinking about the Olympics and, you know, the riding up all through those hills and everything. All those different areas of life, whether you're an athlete. You know, we can be an athlete in the spirit. We can be an athlete in the spirit. In fact, we should have more tenacity about holding on to God when things are going wrong than at any other time in our life. And we shouldn't be going, well, I'm going to try and find a solution in the world when God has the answers for us. And sometimes we simply have to just hold on to Him. Hold fast, the Bible says. So, you know, when Andrew and I and Charlie and Helen and Dom and Diane started this church, we're the only survivors. It wasn't long before Gene Dale started to come to church. Still here. You're going to move closer to Fremantle soon. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to happen. You know, others started to come. Mark Stedman's been with us for, I can't remember now. Family, Greg and Christine. And then we had, you know, Sandy and some of those other guys come from another seat. You know, what an amazing thing. But when we first started, it took us about 7 years, and I think every year I felt like I was going to quit because it was just too hard. Those first 7 years, Andrew can tell you, it was pretty tough. I forgot Julie and Leone as well in that. I've probably forgotten some other people. But you know, all these people that have helped build what we've created, what we now have in God. Not what we've created. God's created it. I'm sure you felt like this at times, that like I was worthless. And it was like, at times I thought, this is a waste of time. You know, in the early days, in those first years of building trying to build this church from literally nothing. Andrew and I were here on our own before even Charlie and Helen came for about our first year. And it was lonely. And it was like, God, are you sure you called us to this place? You sure you called us to Frio? Many times very difficult times. But through manning up, through manning up with Christ, my Lord, and my wife, and like some of these people I have talked about, when we manned up together, when I manned up with God first of all, straight away some of the burden started to lift. And then when I manned up with others and said, no, Nigel, it's always longer, isn't it, than we think it's going to be. Yeah. God has built his church. God is still building his church. God is building C3 Fremantle. And God has given us some fantastic people who have served with us loyally, even though at times too they thought, well, oh, it's not looking too bright. So I commend every person that's made what this place is today. But I want to put a picture up to illustrate this morning. And that's a picture of a tree at my house. This is in a pot. It doesn't do it justice, probably. It actually is, how high is it? It almost reaches the first gutter, you know, if there was a gutter. I don't have gutters. So but this tree never used to be like that. In fact, I found this tree when I used to live in Chester Street in South Fremantle, and I was walking along and someone had thrown it out. It was a hot summer's day and it was almost dead. I could see a few green shoots, but pretty much dead. And I says to Andrea, I'm just going to take that. I'm just going to grab this and just put it in a pot and see what happens. But you know what I had to do to the thing? Because most of them were all dry. I had to cut it right back. Take every leaf off. It actually really hurt it. I had to cut into the roots and cut some of the roots off. I thought I'd give it the best chance. And so all that's left is just basically this naked trunk of a little, wasn't this big, tiny little tree. And I put it in some great soil and fertilized it, and then I'd water it and water it and water it because it was summer. And eventually I started to see a little green shoot, and I thought, yes, this thing, I think it's living. And now it's in the biggest pot I could find, and it's actually moved with me over the last, I think, 7 years, and it's now situated in my house in Hale Street, not far from here. And I think to myself, what an amazing thing that when we actually things appear to be dead, that like this tree, that it seemed like it was going to die. It seemed like there was nothing going for it. And I thought, you know, if we just hang on, what does this verse actually, how does it start again? It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And I looked at this picture, and I took another picture just recently, which is that one, which was up there. And I think to myself, you know, don't give up on God, because God is going to recreate. And there may be situations, certainly, where you need to be cut, and sometimes it'll be God, and that your roots often have to be cut back to the very bare basics, but God is going to rebuild you, and there is going to come a time of great prosperity and growth in your life like you have not experienced to the measure that you have known so far in your life, because my God will do it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. I would encourage you to take that word home and just say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you no matter what. You know, we've been stepping out of the boat every week saying, Lord, we're going to trust in you. Every worship team will tell you, we're just going to trust in you. If you want people to be healed this morning, we're going to trust in you for that. When people to be saved, we're going to trust in you with that. Whatever it is, Lord, we want to be willing to be your servants. And I think the more that we get this through the 40 days, the more that we get how important it is to be his disciples, the more that God is going to bring blessing into our lives. And I tend to find that people give up far too easily. I've been doing this business a while now, 16 years in fact. We miss out on the opportunity for God to build our mind and our character and to live for him. Just because things get tough doesn't mean God's left you. He wants to build your character. And it's interesting to me that this tree's got a bit of yellow on it. Because I don't know about you, but we're never quite perfect, are we? We never quite got it all 100%. I know I took it because it's winter at the moment, but it's a bit like we do have winter seasons. But the more important thing is that the roots are strong, the trunk's going to live, because its core is strong. How do you get your core strong? Well, if it was if it was If we're at the gym, we'd be doing all sorts of exercises, you know, to strengthen our stomach area. We'd probably be doing some squats, some things to actually help our legs actually become stronger so that we can bear more weight, so that we can run faster, so that we can get the muscles working, particularly the strong muscles that require us, so that when we get older, oh, I wish we didn't get older, hey? But so when we get older, we can still do some of the things we thought we could do. You know, when you're in your 40s, you kind of think you can do your things when you're 20. But we give it a good go, don't we, men? And we're not going to stop being men, are we? No, come on. But God uses the same techniques on us. And he gives us the same opportunities to grow. And yet some of us choose to repel the leadership because, and his hand on our life because it seems too hard. And I would say that we've got to be in a situation and actually even have our front foot ready and recognize that we're in a fight, and it's a spiritual fight, and that when we go through the battles, then when we continue to pray for our families, when we continue to pray for those that don't know the Lord right now that are close to us, then we just continue to see the dreams that God has given us. No matter what happens, at least we stay strong and we're able to help our families when they need us. So we have to stop thinking in terms of the short term. Fast this, espresso that. Our longevity in God is determined by our core strength, our spirituality, the amount that we are able to actually say, I'm resisting the devil. I don't mind care what is put in front of me. I will walk the walk of faith. The fruit of the righteous will prosper. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now let me put up this little, I thought we'd put this little clip up. I haven't worked out if he's actually a squirrel or what he is, but anyway, so maybe someone can help me with that after, but we all know Ice Age, and he's carrying his little acorn seed. I'm guessing, like, is it Ice Age 4? Did I hear Ice Age 4 is now out? Who's got kids yet? Well, actually, I'm going to go see it, so I suppose I'm a big kid. But, you know, Ice Age 4 is out. Is it out? It's out. Okay. So, thanks, Jared. So I look at this guy with this acorn, and I'm guessing that he's hanging on to it because one time when the ice is gone, he's going to be able to rebuild. That's my thought. I don't know. I don't think anyone knows, but hey. But that's my thought anyway. He won't let the thing go. But look, what comes from the acorn seed? Let's try it again. Next. Dave's catching up. Here we go. Oh! What comes from the acorn seed? A massive big oak tree. Look at that. Spectacular. How green is it? Incredible. See, something important happens when you've put your roots down deep in God. And the rest of the proverb describes what this is for us. He who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. So one part of your life is the responsibility you have with every other Christian, particularly those in church, in your home church. And the other part of your life is an assignment that is unique to you. Each person who has made an ongoing commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, this Proverbs calls this kind of person righteous. When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when you obey the word of God, when you practice, as we've heard from Sharmini, to worship God, not just on a Sunday, but worship him through obeying the word of God wherever we're at during our week. It means that at times we will think twice about going to the nightclub because we know that it's a pickup joint if we're younger, or maybe not so young. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. You know, it's situations when you can't work it out and go, okay, God, Lord, I love that person. I'm going to bless that person anyway. You know, sometimes it's the most difficult thing you can do. Often they hurt people around you and hurt yourself. The best thing you can do is just say, Lord, here's that person, I'm giving them to you. Look at this. Why is this so important? John 17, 18. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent you into the world. It is who we are. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's who you are that matters. Is it about what job you have? Does it matter which job you have? What's the most important thing? That we have a mission, that no matter what we do in life, and sure, we've got to work. Sure, we've got to do some of those things. I get it. That's absolutely. But we have a purpose for our lives that goes beyond ourselves, to actually be part of a mission to see other people. And so why do we, that's why we have to have this righteous tree thing happening in our lives. We can't do it without God. Your mission is the continuation of Jesus' mission on earth, and we are to continue what Jesus started. Look at this, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It goes on, doesn't it? You know, to ignore the Great Commission would be disobedience. We are responsible for the unbelievers around us. You and I are responsible for the unbelievers around us. Kind of makes us want us to be an oak tree, doesn't it? And then even in, like that tree, if God cuts us back, or we need to be cut back for whatever reasons, that we continue to hang on to God. You know, he's become quite a good friend. Jared knows who I'm talking about. Carpenter friend of mine that I met many years ago because I had to rebuild half my house where I used to live. He lost my phone number. Not a Christian man. Had some connection many, many years ago to a Christian group, but has since become a bit of a hippie and the oddest guy in many ways. But somehow I've made a friendship with this guy. And he rang me because he rang the church actually because he'd lost my phone number. And just said, can you please give me, I want to stay in friendship with you. And his wife and him, they split up. And I was able to talk with them. Anyway, it's continued to, this is over a period of years, and just recently he's connected with another lady friend. Andrew and I had him over for dinner a couple of months ago. And it was just the same old. It was just so good. Yeah, the worst thing you can do is actually be judgmental. The best thing you can do is actually show love. I am so glad that God's put this man in my path so that in my zone and where I move, where I operate, that I can actually be a blessing to someone who needs the love of God for a second time, third time, I don't know. God loves him. God loves his new girlfriend. He rang me to say he's going up north because he couldn't make ends meet down here anymore in his trade. And I texted him while I happened to be in Indonesia. Just because and he goes, I'll be back, let's catch up. I'm just trusting that at the very least, part of the influence of who I am, for who Andrew is, will affect him. And when he needs it most, he'll call out to the living God. But I tell you, he's seen me go through a lot of situations and a lot of... He saw where, it was getting pretty tough. I wasn't sure we were going to even build our house a couple of years ago. But he's also seen that one thing we've done is hang on to the love of God in our lives. I read Bear Grylls' autobiography. There happens to be a copy in the bookshop. Thanks, Catherine, for that. And one thing Bear Grylls does regularly is raise millions for underprivileged children in third world countries. And the truth is this: only the kingdom of God is going to last. I read this quote from William James: the best use of life is to spend it on something that outlasts it. Father, today, why don't we stand to our feet? Father, today, if you want to, just raise your hands. Father, today, I pray that we would take this proverb seriously. We'd take your word seriously. The righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Whether that be through our connect groups, whether that be through our workplace, whether it be on the street, whether it be through a happening, chance happening through a tradesman or whatever the situation. Lord, I pray that we would be your ministers and that we would take your mission of the Great Commission seriously. In the mighty name of Jesus. People of God said,